turning our attention now to the Word of God, to Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 2 through 6. And then I'm going to read a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 43. First, let us hear from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. This being the Word of God and being read in the public sanctuary should be carefully heard. Beginning Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Willow praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer everyone. And then in Isaiah 43, verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. May God bless the hearing of his sacred word to our hearts. Again, we pray thee, Lord, to bless us. We are your people. We believe your word. Help us to believe it some more. And of course, install it in our lives more and more. We will never, ever be without it in any endeavor in life, especially in worshiping before you this Sabbath day. These things we say, these things we pray, in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, you have heard Isaiah 43. I read verses 10, 11, and 12. And I wanted to bring out to you, it's said in both verses 10 of Isaiah 43 and 12, that ye are my witnesses. Now, the prophet was not speaking about himself or the rest of the prophets of the day. The prophet was speaking to the people of God, right? To the Israel of God, the chosen ones, the saved ones, the ones that God saved, right? He says, I am your God, I am your Savior. I'm the one that saved you, not another. There will not be a God that was formed, that was created before, and there will not be a God after me. I am the true and the living God. And we know as Christians that God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was revealed in the Old Testament, but spelled out in no uncertain terms, with no uncertain words, in the New Testament. Triune God, always been a triune God. The living God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit moved upon. He spoke, and it was created. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit was in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, creating everything. And also, emphasis now on He is our Savior from Isaiah 43. He's the Savior of Israel of old. He's the Savior of the new Israel, which is made up of believing Jews and Gentiles. And the reason why He says, "Ye are my witnesses," because you, my people, whom I have saved, and I have given my Son a sacrifice so that you can be in heaven with me forever and ever, because it's only through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice that you have any hope at all, past, present, and of course future, of joining me in paradise anew. There is no other way. If you believe in life after death, and there is clearly life after death, so many have witnessed it. So many, in fact, there have even been a few come back to tell us. Moses, Elijah, Lazarus. Paul went up to heaven, saw things in heaven that he could not speak of when he came back to earth. It was unlawful. And of course there is the resurrection. You know, the fly in the ointment of it all. Jesus was not raised. None of this is true. None of it. But if Jesus rose, all of it is true. Ye are my witnesses that I have saved you and that I am the only God that can save through His Son Jesus Christ. That is the witness you've been given. Now when the full revelation has been given, you have been given that. And you need to tell them in no uncertain terms, but in tones beautiful and wonderful, exciting, and enthusiastic. You need to tell them all that all the gods of the nations and all the religions and all the belief systems that talk about any kind of spiritual life and any kind of not spiritual life are false, are idols, are not true. People, listen. You need to tell your family, your friends, your neighbor, even your enemy in love. Listen. All of it's untrue. The only thing that is true is this. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to truth, the truth, absolute truth, ye are my witnesses. The people that I have saved. Right? And so, let's just emphasize that a little bit more. Ye are my witnesses. The second point, by walk. The third point, by talk. That's it. Ye are my witnesses by walk, by talk. When do we do this, by the way? When are we witnesses? Every day, right? Wherever we are, right? It's not part-time for us anymore. It's a full-time. This is a full-time thing, this Christianity, right? The Bible covers every aspect of life. It gives direction in every affair, whether you're young or old or in between, whether you're married or not married. Whether you are rich or poor, whomever you are, male, female, it addresses every aspect of life. And so ye are my witnesses in every way, in every day. No exception. Right? That's the clear message of the scriptures. Even in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah is telling the people, you need to declare this among the nations that they're following idols, that they're believing in lies. It's a simple message. All of us get it's difficult to deliver, right? Because we know there's going to be opposition. We know there's going to be hatred. What do we do? How do we act? Well, Paul recommends, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so it's more than just a recommendation, right? He says in verses 5 and 6 of Colossians chapter 4, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So, broadly speaking, in general, we are to walk in wisdom towards them that are way out. Look, the Jews considered everyone, without exception, everyone that wasn't a Jew without, outside of them. They were outsiders. They could be brought inside, but they were out. Non-Jews were outsiders. Likewise, Christian, those who do not believe in this word are not believers in Jesus Christ, do not belong to Jesus Christ. They are outsiders. Now, when you tell them something like that, when you tell a person that he's an outsider, you might not use that exact word, but you're not a Christian, or you're following another God, or you're going to hell because of what you believe in or how you practice your life or whatever it is, what do you think the response is going to be? In most cases, at least initially, it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be pleasant. And that's why a lot of people shy away from that. You shy away from doing that? I don't. Do you? I'm just a man. I'm no better than anyone else here. I can tell you that. You're better than I am in so many ways. Shouldn't shy away from that. In fact, Paul gives instruction to the Colossians, to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how we should be. Because we know that people aren't going to receive what we have to say and what we're all about as Christians very well. They're going to be judgmental towards us a lot of the time, mostly. They are going to be, you know, sort of, at least in our day and age, weaponized against us. You know, they're going to have all this stuff that they have heard on the internet and read and whatever. It's going to be armed. It's so amazing how it's been accepted among everyone, just almost everyone, and sadly even some Christians, although I hope not many true Christians. This homosexuality and this promiscuity and this living together and dating and with friends with benefits kind of stuff, and it's so readily acknowledged to be okay by everyone, and that even Christians don't want to speak against it because you're just going to be ostracized as some sort of fanatic, as some sort of hater, some sort of phobic, right? I mean, it's intimidating. I guess it's more intimidating today than it's been before. I'm pretty sure it is for many. And you know, some of us are gentle spirited. You know, perhaps not me, but some of us are very gentle. We don't want to ruffle feathers. We don't want to get in arguments. We don't want to cause terrible upset as we witness the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God in Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made for sinners such as I am. I mean, that's such a nice message to hear, but it's the only spiritual message on the planet to save. What do we do? Well, Paul says here, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let's get into that first a little bit. Walk in wisdom. Okay, so here's the first thing that we ought to consider, our walk. Not our talk, but our walk. Right? The conversation of our life, not in terms of verbiage, but in terms of how we carry ourselves along. How we present our lives to others. We are to engage them in a walk, in a conversation, in a lifestyle that is a wise one. Well, why does he say that? What's a wise lifestyle, if you will? Well, you know, people know us by our words and our actions, right? And you've heard the expression, I'll ask you to fill in. What do people say speaks louder than words? Our actions. Everybody knows it. Our actions speak volumes compared to our words. You see, if our words say one thing and our actions reveal another, that's not a wise walk, right? And so when you're trying to reach somebody for your Savior in your Savior's name, and you're walking, your lifestyle is similar to theirs, and you're trying to convert them to what? You do the same thing as I do, the unbeliever's going to say. They pick up on that right away. What did someone once say? Someone once says, our walk must be an antithetical walk. What's that mean? What does it mean to live antithetically? I've defined it before. I'll define it again. It's not a word that's common parlance. Antithetical living is to be against. Right? Anti is to be against. Against what? Against everything that God is against. What's God against? God is against reckless living, wild living, violent kind of lifestyles, neglectful kind of lifestyles, inordinate kind of living, partying, you know, wild partying, excessive drinking, cursing, swearing, foul jokes, you know, all the things that that are popular among many, not just the youth, but among many. All the terrible things that that people are into, I don't know if parents, you have picked up on this yet, but you know, some people that are claiming Christ are telling your children, whether it's on Facebook or somewhere else on the internet or in the television shows that they're watching or just word around, you know, they're telling your kids that, you know, there's nothing, look, just, you know, homosexuality is okay. Promiscuity is okay. You can live with somebody if you want. Certainly you can have some sex. You don't have to go all the way, but, you know, a little bit is not so bad. It's natural. They're telling your kids this. Whether you know it or not, they heard this before. This is not new. I'm not telling any young person anything new that they haven't heard. They've heard it all. But we Christians don't live like that. Oh, yes, we do sometimes. Boyfriend and girlfriend. The boy is an unbeliever. The girl is a believer. The boy has a witness. The girl does not. But that's okay. Lifestyle. You need to live the life that God would have you live, to walk in wisdom. Wisdom means that your life, it comports, it fits, it dovetails with your word, so that when you do tell them, when you do speak, there is not an inconsistency. Now, sometimes there is an inconsistency. What do we do about that? When someone points out, Pastor, do you know that I saw you, or I heard you, or your wife, or your son, or let's talk about me. Did you hear me say something inappropriate? Did you hear me when I hit my finger with that hammer? Did you hear that? What about that? Doesn't that make you a hypocrite? It would if I condoned it. But you see, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So my sin, I'm going to repent of this sin. I'm not going to do that. I'm ashamed of that. I did that. I'm sorry. And repentance is all part of that lifestyle, like that wise walk. Repentance, that is turning from the sin, because we're not perfect, we're going to make mistakes, and walking in the other direction, and let them see that. See a repentance as well as a solid, holy lifestyle. Remember, people are not necessarily reading the Word of God so very much, but they are reading us. And you need to consider that. That's what the world does. It doesn't read the Bible. It reads the Christian. And I know you've heard it more than once. The church is full of hypocrites. Why did I say that? Probably because it's true. But we are not hypocrites here at Calvary Church, are we? So we want to walk in wisdom. We want our behavior to be commensurate, our actions to be commensurate with our words, with our witness. We don't want to give them fodder. We don't want to give them ammunition to shoot back in our faces at us and say, I don't want to have anything to do with a hypocritical religion. Why should I waste my time and money? And positively, that's negative, but positively, we want to be able to say, to tell people to follow me. Be an example. Follow me because I am following Jesus. We want to conduct ourselves in such a way that they behold what we're doing and saying, well, why do you do that? Why are you acting that way? What makes you different? I notice there's a difference with you. What's doing that? You want people to ask you that. See? So that you walk in a wise way. towards those that are without, that is out without Christ, outside of the Church of Jesus Christ, outside of the faith, not saved yet, in order to bring them in. And you don't want to contradict what you're about to tell them. Because ye are my witnesses, first in walk, in conversation, and then in talk. He said before we get to verse 6, we come to verse 6, redeeming the time. What does that? That redeeming is a participle, and it can be translated or interpreted buying up opportunity. Buying opportunity. Which means that we are not only to wait for an opportunity to witness to somebody, to show ourselves that we love the Lord and we are Christians by our behavior as well as our speech, but we are to make opportunity. Not just take, but to make, buying up and making the opportunity, using the time in a worthy fashion. So we're always ready. We are looking to witness to for any in that we may to show them that we love Jesus. And so our kids do not sleep around. Our children do not go out with unbelievers. They do not marry them, for sure. They don't go to wild parties. They don't break the Sabbath. We don't. We're not involved in the office behaviors that we hear about and even see displayed on television. We separate ourselves from that as much as is possible to do. We don't condone promiscuity, homosexuality, idolatry of any kind. Whatever the kind of idolatry it may be. Materialism, possessions, sports idolatry, celebrity idolatry, whatever. We don't do any of that. We're not rabid fans of anyone except Jesus. For everyone's fallen and a sinner and needs to be saved. Now, we have the grace, the means, the comportment by which we may continue to verse 6 of Colossians chapter 4, which says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man or every one. My life is in order. Not completely. Not without fault. You know what to do when you have a fault. When it's discovered, you repent. You show them humility. You show them that I am just like you, a sinner, and I need a Savior like you do. Help me, I'll help you. Let's not throw in the towel. I want you to know my life has changed because of Jesus Christ. I'm walking in a new way, in a new day, but not perfectly yet. And so my speech is always with grace. That is, what's grace? Grace is favor. Grace is mercy. Grace is lovely. Grace is the light. And that's the way you want to be humble. Gracious, peace-loving, warm, kind. You know, like a gracious person is, a kind person, gentle. You want to have that spirit, that approachableness, so that someone can talk to you about what it is they believe. Well, what is it you believe? And then you listen. And you respond after they tell you with gentleness and gracefulness. You don't get into arguments now. Have I ever gotten to an argument and a heated discussion with somebody? Yeah. Is it right? Very rarely. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. Trying to get my way or put the person, you know, get them confused or put them down even, say words that aren't so gracious. That's not the way to be, is it? Let your speech be always gracious. No exception. Seasoned with salt. What's salt? Salt is flavorful. Salt is tasty. Salt is delightful. Salt preserves as well. You need to speak in such a way that the person is interested in what you say. You put it in such a way that is personal to you and to him. You're reaching out. You're the salt of the earth. You're the flavor. You're full of wisdom and knowledge and peace and understanding and goodwill. And you have a good word to say. Sometimes it's a bold word and a strong word. Yes, sometimes it must be. But a good word to say. Look, I know that you're caught in a web of sin. I know you're involved in fornication or promiscuity. But here's a way out. There's a forgiveness for any sin you've committed and a way out. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ and following him. Let's do it together. You have a brother. You have a sister in me. You have a friend in me if you're a friend with him. You have a family to come to now. Always seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer everyone. This is the way you ought to speak to everyone. with a life that comports with your testimony, with your fair witness. We're all called to do this, brothers and sisters. And you and I need to bring our life and our words, our actions and our speech in harmony more and more. If we're going to be fair witnesses of Jesus. And there is no option to this because God says, ye are my witnesses to his people, which means, well, a few things, but it means that I have chosen you, not randomly, but out of my plan and purpose, I have chosen you to be a witness for me, and therefore I'm behind you. Not only behind you, I'm in front of you. I will empower you. Don't worry about the words you have to speak. I will give them to you through my Spirit working within you to will and do of my good pleasure and my Word that's in you. That's why you need to read the Word. You need to search the Word. You need to know the Word. You need to memorize the Word. You need to know it by heart. Because I will give you remembrance. I am with you. Ye are my witnesses. You're not alone. You belong to me. I belong to you. You don't go it alone. I am with you always, said Jesus. And so you need to understand, we all need to appreciate that there's no option. Every one of God's people is a witness because everyone belongs to him and he belongs to them. And he is walking with you. And he is talking through you. And you just need to harmonize your life with your word. I'm a Christian. I should act like it. I'm a believer in Jesus. I don't just believe about Jesus. I believe in Him. I trust Him. You can trust me, what I'm saying, because my life comports with my word. Can't trust me if my life's out of sync. Of course, we can all trust Jesus, right? Because His life and His word were perfectly aligned. We need to follow that plan and be His witnesses to our family, our friends, our neighbors, and yes, even our enemies. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. We are Your people, the people of Your choice, and therefore You have called us, all of us, to be witnesses to the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, what a delightful calling that is. It's not a very easy one. It's not a very easy one. We will be resisted, but we are to behave ourselves with grace. Our speech is to be seasoned with salt. We are not to return in kind. We are to return in kindness to others. May You find us doing so, Lord. May You find us, each and every one of us, doing so. And more and more. In Your name we pray. Amen.